All right, you can go ahead when you're ready.
Okay, let me send one same time to Madeline to say that I'm going. Okay, if she's online. No, okay. Okay, all right, I'm ready.
Okay, go ahead.
Welcome to IBM Virtualization Engine Deep Dive Education Session. My name is Hiren Shah, and I will be providing information about EWLM version 2. There may be several other presentations in the area of interest. This presentation is referring to EWLM overview. There will be Q&A session early October. So please send your question to Mehdi at us.ibm.com by October 1st. Now we will start with EWLM release 2 or version 2 overview. I'm on a chart 2. Basically, EWLM in release 1 provided monitoring function, Enterprise Workload Manager monitoring function in release 1. Only one management function we had in release 1 was related to load balancing, where we recommended router how to spray the request in the domain based on what EWLM has observed, work meeting goals or not, and the topology of the workflow. In this release, basically we are providing additional management function. We are adding to our platforms. In release 1, we supported Windows, AIX, i5, Solaris, ZOS as a managed server node or endpoint nodes. With release 2 or version 2 of EWLM, we are adding Linux and HPUX as two additional platform, managed node platforms. For Linux, basically, we are supporting SUSE /9SP2 release, and HPUX is basically 11.IV2. So that's basically addition to our managed node platforms. From middleware perspective, we continue supporting WebSphere, DB2 on a ZOS, UDB on all managed node platforms, Apache on all managed node platform, as well as IIS on a Windows platform. So that basically describes IBM middleware that are already instrumented to EWLM. Other changes we are making in EWLM version 2 is some enhancement related to serviceability. We are providing more diagnostic functions in our trace. We will be tracing our platform APIs, what data we receive from the platform, etc. We have made some scalability and performance enhancement to support more endpoints in our domain, some performance enhancement on our managed server side to deal with the data that we collect with, to efficiently deal with the data that we collect from managed server or from the platform. We have added quite a few new usability items. We are providing new reports, new enhancement in our UI. That I will go over it. There are some enhancement in installation, and there are other presentation that talks about enhancement to our install scripts. Configuration enhancement are also will be discussed through some other presentation. Besides this core infrastructure changes, we also introduced in EWLM version 2 new components in our managed server, basically. That is our algorithm engine that makes management decision, basically, or through algorithm we decide whether work is missing goal or meeting goal kind of stuff, right? And one other main management function or major change in EWLM version 2 is ALPAR CPU management function that we are introducing for a Squadron hardware or a P-series hardware. Besides ALPAR CPU management, we have one additional function which we call it ERD or EWLM resource director, which is basically still the ALPAR CPU resource management functions, but it supports the non-instrumented application, whereas the ALPAR CPU management function, which we call over here, is for mostly when you have instrumented middleware running in your domain. So we separated out our ALPAR CPU management function into two parts. One we call it just ALPAR CPU management, other one we call it ERD, and I will go over both these functions in a while. So let's start with the EWLM ALPAR management. The major function that is provided in EWLM version 2 to manage the resources in your environment. This function provides management of CPU resources across the partitions on a Power 5 or a Squadron hardware. This is similar to what, if you're familiar with Intelligent Resource Director on Z-Series, this function is very similar to that. One difference, though, is Z-Series Intelligent Resource Director is only for ZOS versus EWLM ALPAR management. You can have multiple operating systems running in each of these partitions on a Power 5. Power 5 today supports AIX, PPC Linux and i5 operating system. So you could run a mixture of this operating system, and when you run EWLM managed server on each of these instances, each of these partition, EWLM will do the management of the CPU resources across this heterogeneous operating system. You could create a multiple partition group on your hardware box, and I will go over the concept of what partition group means. And you could have a multiple EWLM domain which controls these sets of partition that you created on the Power 5 hardware. Chart 4. The main objective of ALPAR CPU management is to manage a CPU or a processor resource across different partitions based on a goal defined in an EWLM domain policy. Idea over here is to move the CPU resource dynamically to the partition where we notice that work is missing goal as defined in the policy. If all goals are not being met, then what EWLM will do is basically sacrifice the least importance work. So if on a partition, if you have a two partition, one partition running high importance work, other partition is running low importance work, even though the goal for both type of work is being, at this point is being missing, we still move the resources from the partition which is running less importance work to the partition which is running more important work. So that's the idea behind how we manage the CPU resource. Primary management knob is a partition entitled capacity. On a Power 5 hardware, when you create the partition, you define processor entitled capacity for each partition. And EWLM raises the entitled capacity of a partition to give a partition more CPU resources, and when it does that, it needs to find out which partition, which other partition in the on the box can donate the required entitled capacity. So it always keeps the total of entire capacity across the set of partitions same. It just takes away from one partition and gives to other partition which is in need. The second knob is basically managing the number of virtual processors, and this knob is being managed based on partition's current entire capacity and actual processor consumption. So if in some case partition is consuming more than what is entitled, and that is possible when you have a uncapped partition on a Power 5 hardware, and if there is any free capacity available, partition is allowed to use that free capacity. So on a, when you have uncapped partition, it is possible that partition can use more than what is entitled. And in that case, EWLM will bring in or will consider bringing in more virtual processor based on what current consumption is. ALPA group is a scope of management. On a Power 5 hardware, when you define a partition, you can identify which partition workload group this partition is member of. So you can put set of partitions in the same workload group, and EWLM management scope is across this set of partitions, which are in the same partition workload group. This feature allows EWLM domain to coexist on the same box, or EWLM to coexist with another partition manager, for example, PLM. On AIX, they have other functions called partition load manager that does a similar stuff, dynamically adjusting the CPU capacity of the partition. But PLM doesn't have knowledge of EWLM policy, or it doesn't know whether the work is missing goal or not. It's mostly utilization-based. So having the partition workload group scope of the management allows, again, to have a multiple domain manager and other partition load manager functions to coexist with EWLM. If you have a PLM running on a partition, you don't want to run EWLM at the same time because their action could counter-react to each other. Moving to chart 5. In order for EWLM LPAR management functions to work efficiently, you would need instrumented middleware running in your partition. When workload running on the partition are handled through ARM instrumented middleware, we will know that how much each hop in this multi-tier environment is contributing to your end-to-end response time for the workload you are running. So based on this information, EWLM will understand whether this particular hop is missing its goal, part of the goal, end-to-end goal, right? So because when you define the goal for the work, that's the end-to-end goal for the work. For example, average 3 seconds. Your transaction should complete in average 3 seconds. That's the end-to-end goal. Part of that, 1 second could be spent on one partition, 2 seconds can be spent on another partition. EWLM knows how much time the work is spending on each partition, and that information will be used to understand whether this partition is contributing to overall failure in missing goal. EWLM knowledge of how each partition is contributing to overall response time allows that if one partition is behaving real bad, but other partition is really behaving good, so overall there is no problem. But since EWLM knows that there is real problem on one partition, we won't allow the poor performance of that one partition hidden. because end-to-end goal is met, right? EWM still will make changes when one partition in entire topology is behaving or is returning real poor performance, but end-to-end goal is still being met. For this EWM LPAR management function to work, the response time goals are most intuitive, right? Because that indicates very easily whether the goals is being missed or being met. It's very easy to define. Most of the transaction type of workload, you have some SLA in place, a service level agreement that says that your work should complete in, on average, this amount of time, or 90% of the time your work should complete in this amount of time. So that type of SLA could be easily translated to response time goal in our EWM policy. Moving to chart 6, without ARM instrumented middleware, EWLM does not have any end-to-end perspective, right? We will know what work is running on one system, on the current partition. So the management will be limited to local performance in that situation. So again, to take real good advantage of EWM LPAR management, you need instrumented middleware. But just in case if we don't have instrumented middleware, EWLM will do management based on what is happening on local system, right, based on local performance of work running on that particular system. There are two options for this type of management. One is to classifying all the OS processes, and you can assign a service class to the processes and define the goal to the service class, and usually that would be a velocity goal, identifying that how fast your work is running. So LPAR management that you that will take place in this type of environment requires that you classify your processes appropriately into a particular service class and define a meaningful goal to the service class. And then based on service classes meeting its goal or not, EWLM LPAR management function will move the resources. This approach is a little bit complicated because you need to know that what processes are running on the system, what should be the goal assigned to, velocity goal assigned to this those set of processes. And this approach is best match when partition is running mixed type of workload. You are running both ARM instrumented workload as well as you have some non-ARM workload also running at a time on the partition. And I will go over the example of that situation in later charts. Moving to chart 7, the second option is management at the partition level. With this option, basically, you view the entire partition as a single workload, kind of, right? And you have a single goal, or you have a goal for the entire partition and importance defined for the entire partition. And based on this goal and importance, right, and if partition is achieving this goal or not, EWLM will move the resources. And importance basically helps when you have a similar goals. You can identify that if the important work is missing its goal, EWM will try to help that particular partition, right? So having importance and goal assigned to partition, EWLM will manage the resources assigned to the partition. We are calling this function or this approach as a ERD or EWLM resource director. But we have in our EWLM policy to support ERD a new definition. We call it partition class, and you assign a velocity goal to the partition class that measures how well the partition is being treated by the hypervisor. So basically, if partition is not getting good treatment from the hypervisor because probably you don't have enough CPU resources allocated to the partition, EWLM will understand that, and if it sees that if partition goal is missing, the velocity goal is missing, and this is a high importance partition, we will move CPU resources to this partition. This approach is less complex than the option one, which we talked about in previous chart, and this it allows partition to be viewed as a single entity. From performance administrator point of view, it becomes easier for performance administrator to see that if partition is meeting goal or not very easily. Chart 8, we're going to talk about here what external definition is required for EWLM LPAR CPU management. On a Power 5 hardware, you need to go through HMC when you want to define the partitions. When you go through HMC, when you define the partition, you define a minimum and maximum CPU and entire capacity for the partition. This minimum and maximum CPU and entire capacity basically limits some EWLM actions, so you need to be careful when you define that. Basically, what it means that EWLM will never try to lower the partition CPU entire capacity below minimum, and it never try to raise the partition entire capacity above maximum. You also define what is the initial CPU entire capacity. You define minimum and maximum virtual CPU. Again, that limits the EWLM action. You define initial virtual CPU. LPAR group number associated or partition workload group number associated to this partition. And one important thing is that EWLM LPAR management is available only to a shared partition, right? So if partition is using dedicated processor, we don't do any LPAR management for dedicated partition, meaning we won't move a dedicated processor from one partition which is dedicated to other partition which is dedicated. EWLM don't manage dedicated partition, in short. The LPAR group definition, basically, as we have discussed, this is the scope of management. EWLM will make sure at any given point of time, the group capacity, which is a sum of entire capacity across all the partition, remains same. Right, so we add up the initial capacity of all the partitions in the group, and that initial sum of the capacity will always be the same, meaning even though we move the resources from one partition to other, that total initial defined capacity across all the partitions which are in the same group remains same. In other words, EWLM action would not increase the capacity of the group, entire CPU capacity of the group. EWLM provide a way to turn on and off the LPAR management function from control center, so that's another external. Moving to chart 9, here I'm showing one important aspect of HMC definition, which is putting partition in the workload group. In order for EWLM LPAR management to work, as I said, partition needs to be in a partition workload group. The partitions which are in the same workload group, that will be managed by EWLM, right? So if there is just one partition in the workload group, there is no management action that EWLM can take. In order to increase the partition capacity, EWLM needs to decrease the partition CPU capacity of some other partition, so which is in the same group. So in order for EWLM LPAR management to work, you need a set of partitions which are in the same partition workload group. Moving to chart 10, one other thing you need to do on HMC when you define the partition, You need to turn on a flag which says allowed shared processor pool utilization authority. Basically, setting this flag allows EWLM to understand how much unused capacity in the shared pool. This is very important piece of data that EWLM requires, and if you don't turn on this flag, EWLM won't be able to take any LPAR actions. And on some systems like on a Linux, if you have not turned on this flag, we won't be able to, when you try to make any resource adjustment, system will indicate that there is a problem and it will write some information in the log and it would lead to a overflow of the log. So again, if for EWLM LPAR management functions to work properly on a system, you need to set this flag for the partition. Moving to chart 11, I would like to go through one example over here for LPAR management and to show how it works at high level. I'm showing a Power 5 box over here with four partition, and my initial configuration is equal resources across all these four partitions. These all four partitions are using shared processor, right? And entire capacity for each of these partition initially is same across all partitions. It's the same capacity. All work that is going through these partitions is transactional work and has a response time goal. And basically, what we have over here is two service classes defined: one for external high importance work, and other service classes for internal low importance work. The high importance work goes through three partitions on the left, which is Apache, WAS, and DB2. And low importance work goes through the two partitions on the right, which is a WAS partition and DB2 partition. So basically over here, the middle DB2 partition is handling both high importance work as well as low importance work. Moving to chart 12. This animation over here basically shows how EWLM action is moving resources from one partition to other. What happens over here is there is a surge in external high importance work, which is service class 1 work, and with no EWLM notices that work is missing its goal, right? So EWLM then detects that work is missing its goal because we don't have enough CPU resources in our WAS and DB2 partition. So we are encountering a heavy CPU delay across these two partitions. What EWLM then do is take resources away from the WAS partition, which is currently running low importance internal work, service class 2 work, right? And move it to WAS and DB2 partition, which are running high importance work, which is missing its goal. Right? So you would notice that we shifted first the virtual processor on the WAS partition running internal low importance work because it is not consuming that much processor. So we start moving first the virtual processor, and then eventually when we see that other partitions are missing goal, we shifted the entire capacity of the WAS. We lowered the entire capacity of the WAS running internal low importance work and moved that entire capacity to WAS and DB2 partition running high importance work. Once we moved the entire capacity, we also brought in the additional virtual processor to make sure that the configuration doesn't suffer from low number of virtual processors in multi-threaded environment. Moving to chart 13, this animation shows that later on at the night, for example, the external high importance work drops and your internal low importance work picks up. Now at this point, the external high importance work is already meeting its goal. There is no need to keep this extra additional capacity. The internal low importance work is started missing its goal, right? And we detect that internal low importance work is missing goal because the WASP partition is encountering, WASP partition on the right is encountering a lot of CPU delay. So what EWM does that then, it first find out which partition can donate the capacity that which WASP partition is requiring. So in our algorithm, EWM will say, okay, can we move the capacity from the partition which is currently running the high importance work without impacting the performance of the high importance work, right? So once EWM determines that moving the capacity is not going to impact the high importance work, right, it's not going to miss its goal, EWM will move the capacity from WASP partition, which is currently handling external work, and we don't have that much external work, and we are still meeting our goal. High importance work is meeting goal at this point. So it will move the capacity to WASP partition on the right, which is handling the internal low importance work. And after we move the capacity to WASP partition, we also bump up the number of virtual processors to help out the work running on internal work running on that WASP partition. So that's basically the simple example of LPAR CPU management, at how EWLM goal-oriented algorithm understands when work is missing goal, understands what is the bottleneck, and move the resources to the partition where we see the delay. Moving on to chart 14, this is an example of a mix of instrumented middleware running on a partition and partition where you don't have any instrumented middleware. In this example, I have on the leftmost two partitions, partition P1 and P2 has an instrumented middleware, and partition P3 is handling the transactional, multi-hop transactional work that goes through partition 1 and partition 2 and then lands on partition 3. But the middleware running on partition P3 is not instrumented. For example, you are running Oracle on partition 3, which is not instrumented at this point, right? And the partition 4 is basically not a middleware type of, not a transactional work, but it's more print server type of work or where you can define ERD type of goal very easily. So in this example, when you have a work going through partition 1, partition 2, and partition 3, since on a partition 3 we don't have instrumented middleware, we don't have end-to-end knowledge about whether the goal is being met, end-to-end goal is being met, and what is the contribution of partition 3 to end-to-end goal, right? So what you need to do in this type of environment is define a partition class for the partition 3, define the goal for that partition 3, and give the same importance. Same importance meaning the work that is currently flowing through this partition P3, what is the importance of that work, right? If it is importance 1 work, right, give partition class associated with partition 3 importance 1, right? So that's what I mean by importance of a DB partition equal to highest importance of the transaction using it, right? And then there is a partition P4 where you are running print server or DNS type of workload. You can define a partition class for that and give it a low importance. So when there is a need, you can move resources from partition P4 to P3. Moving on to chart 15. Here I'm showing that you could have a partition class definition where you might be running already instrumented middleware. And for example, P1, right, which is running transactional type of workload, and the the middleware like Apache is already instrumented. But sometimes you might want to manage, and it is also running non-instrumented work, non-transactional work, for example, some type of batch jobs, right? So you want to manage partitions when you have a mixed type of workload. How you could do that? This example shows that. You can define a partition class for a partition P1, right, which is running both on ARM instrumented work as well as non-ARM instrumented batch work. Then what EWM will do, EWM manage this partition based on both transaction response time and partition level velocity goals. So either of those two, if EWM missing, EWM notice that missing goal, either of these two class missing its goal, EWM will identify it as a receiver partition and try to find it out which other partition can donate resources to this partition, right? So again, this example shows that how you could manage a partition where you are running both transaction as well as non-transactional workload. Moving to chart 16, this chart shows the internal algorithm. What EWM does is basically every 10 second interval, it detects that work is meeting is what type of service classes are on the system or on the partition, and then it will identify whether the service class is missing its goal or not. If service class is missing its goal, it will identify it as a receiver service class. Then it will check whether why the service class is missing its goal. Is it due to CPU problem? If it is a CPU problem, right, then it will find out how much more CPU we can give it to partition so that it can meet its goals, right? So we identify how much additional capacity this partition needs in order to meet the goal. Moving on to chart 17. Once we identify, okay, this is how much we need, we send a plea request to domain manager, and then domain manager, which has knowledge of what other partitions are in the same LPAR group, right, it sends a message to these all other members, all other partitions which are in the same LPAR group, asking if they can donate resources and what would be the impact if they will donate the resource, right? And once the responses come back, it will do some kind of net value check, meaning it will do some algorithm computation and running through algorithm do some computation to see that advantage to a receiver is more than disadvantage to donor, things like that. And if it determines that the impact to donor is it will determine which selection of the donor will result into a least impact, means we won't hurt the work running on those donor partition. Once we make the selection of the donor, right, we send a message to donor saying that decrease your partition entire capacity to all those donor partition, and then we will go to a receiver partition and say that increase the capacity of the receiver partition. So that's in a nutshell is the whole algorithm, how we do LPAR management. Moving on to now chart 18, where we're going to talk about the enhancement to our control center. In order to support our LPAR management functions, we are creating a new report under monitoring section, which is the LPAR group report, which will list the number of different LPAR groups that you have in your environment, and for each LPAR group, which we will list the number of which partitions are the part of that group, right, and their current CPU statistics, basically, and current resource statistics for each partition, which tells you what is the mean and max setting for the partition, what is current CPU allocation, what is current memory allocation, what is current CPU usage, right? And in our control center, we also provide a way to enable and disable LPAR management function. Moving to chart 19, this shows a little bit internal. In release 1, we showed a chart describing what consists of what things are there in a domain manager, right? On the left side, basically, we are showing stack of software processes, which is our WAS application server, which supports our control center. And the right side is another stack of software process, which is another software process, which is our domain manager process, which consists of multiple components. And in release 2, we added 2 additional components to our domain manager process, our domain manager componentry. We call it a virtual resource manager, which is VM, and the second component is virtual group manager, which is VG. The VG component basically keeps tracks of what members are there in a virtual group, and VM component does a resource management. It assesses impact to other members in the group, and then it makes the resource change action. On page 20, this is basically the managed server process and describes what components are there. In release 2 of EWLM, we are adding 2 additional components, RO, which is our algorithm engine, and VA is our virtual agent component, which talks to underlying new APIs provided by platform to collect the CPU statistics from hypervisor. So all 3 operating system, i5, AIX, and PPC Linux, provides new APIs to us to pull the LPAR stats as well as API to change the resources. And VA component basically uses this API to get the current statistics and to change the current resource allocation. Moving to chart 21, this chart basically shows the partition group details report. Here you see the number of partitions which are in the same group and current CPU or processor allocation, along with what is the mean and max value for memory, what is mean and max value for a processor that you have defined on HMC. If you have any dedicated partition in and you put it in a group, right, EWLM will not manage CPU resources of that particular dedicated partition, but if you want to view resource allocation to the dedicated partition, you can. That particular partition will be still viewable as part of the EWLM partition group detail report, right? So if you have a dedicated partition, it will be shown in a group. It will be shown in a partition group detail. But EWLM won't be doing any resource action. We will not be performing any resource change action on dedicated partition. Moving on to chart 22, here we can talk about other enhancement. We have a new workload balancing report. We have improved the topology views, and I will go through the chart that shows what improvements we have in the topology views. One major enhancement in reporting section is we now have a longer historical data. Our history data now is elongated to 24 hours history. In release 1, we have only 1 hour worth of data. We do provide a set of API that could be used by system management software if they want to keep a longer-term historical data. There is an enhancement to a policy editor. When you create the rule, it would be more natural way that one defines the rule. You can use the same concept that if you write it down on a piece of paper, how your rule looks like, you can create the rule similar way on our control center using policy editor. It's more natural now. We use a rule editor provided by IBM Japan to create the rules. We have provided some scalability improvement. Basically, we support more managed server now in Domain Manager. Policy activation, we will make sure that the policy is activated first on the hops that are serving high importance work and things like that. Moving to chart 23, here I'm showing the changes to our topology reports. As you can see, we have on a link to between the application environments over here in the topology, we also shows the number of transactions between each hop. So that's one big enhancement. People wanted to know what's the spread of transaction when work moves from one application to other. We also provide in a topology report flyover capability. So once you move your mouse on one of the application environment or one of the hop, you would see the data related to that particular hop. We have a new hop detail report that you can view for each hop in the environment. You can look at the resource data and the transaction data. Earlier, you had to go through topology and then pull down the table view, but now the hop detail is available as one of the selection for the transaction class or a service class when you pull down the list of action for a particular transaction class or a service class or a process class. Our monitor, live monitor, now can support, as I said, we have a 24 worth of data, so you can scroll back from the current interval all the way back up to 24 hours, and you would see how the PI was a few hours before. So this is good enhancement. So if you like to see how well the work was running 12 hours before, you could get that information. This chart is basically showing, chart 27 is showing that we moved our cursor back to see how work was doing, and you would also notice that when you move your cursor, that policy activation took place sometime in middle. Chart 28 is basically another enhancement we provided in version 2, is having a history of policy activation. It is possible that you multiple administrators can log on to Control Center. So if someone has activated policy that you are not aware of, right, you can look at this policy activation history and detect that when the policy was activated and which policy was activated. Moving to chart 29, as I said, that we provide a capability to have a reporting data up to 24 hours. So on this chart, I'm showing at the top is to right and left arrow, which you can use that to scroll the interval all the way from current interval to the interval 12 hours before and look at it how the PI is, whether the goal is being met or not at that time, and then you can look into hop details to see what was the resource consumption 12 hours before, etc. Chart 29 is basically shows you the enhancement in our policy editor. As you can see that this is big enhancement to release 1. You can create the rules with AND and OR without moving arrows back and forth like we did in release 1 to shift the rule to show the AND condition or keep the rule at the same level to show the OR condition. Here you can explicitly see that I have a rule executable path equal to slash user bin top AS or executable path with top AS asterisk. So it's more natural way to read the rules and also to let you create the rule more naturally. Moving to chart 31, which is basically shows the additional report that we are providing for load balancing functions. Here you can see what application or system groups that you have defined and what is current recommendation from EWLM, the weight recommendation from EWLM to the router, right? So this is good enhancement to see that what recommendation we have made to the router and whether router is accepting it. So if we made this recommendation, you still see that work is not spread well across your domain and you are still missing goals, you can then investigate why router is not making, spraying the request as per the EWLM recommendation. Moving to chart 32, we have enhanced supported middleware. WebSphere 6.0 is enhanced to support web services and JMS now. So with WAS 6.0, you could you could run your transaction through web services, and since web services instrumented since WebSphere has instrumented the web services, you could see that in our EWLM reports, and we can manage resources based on the goal you have defined for your web services, for example. With WAS 6.02, there is a change in application name. If you run your workload through WAS 6.02, you need to make sure that in your in EWLM domain policy, you select WebSphere colon application underscore server as an application name, not the IBM WebSphere as you do with WAS 6.0 or earlier. Chart 33 is basically providing information on where you can go to get further information on EWLM. So that's it, basically. Again, if you have any question, please send it to Madeline, Nick, before October 1st, because we're going to have a Q&A session sometime in October. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm done. Hello?
Hi, Harin. Are you all finished now?
Yep, I'm finished. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your help.
All right, okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye.